Yo. He steps to the mic with a boom, ping, ping. Wisdom sharper than a bee's fierce sting. Words like fireflies that light the night. He turns the dark into blazing bright. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king, oh, the airwaves king. The ground unveils the truth where lies abound. Politics, justice, social streams. He molds the chaos into dreams. No silence here, just the sound of change. Boom, ping, ping, rearrange ya. Boom, ping, ping, the truth takes wing. Milwaukee's voice, let the city sing. Boom, ping, ping, hear the freedom ring. Sherwin's the king or the airwaves king. Through the static, through the noise, he amplifies the people's voice. Boom, ping, ping, like a heartbeat's call. He's got the wisdom to break down walls. Yeah.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. I don't believe that it is too early to start thinking about and planning for the future. And I know in these very uncertain times, it's hard to do that, but there's a couple of things that are kind of floating around in the ethos that make a handful of things relatively easy to predict. So I believe that the Democrats are going to get legislative control in the House of Representatives and potentially the U.S. Senate moving past the midterm elections of this year. So this is my belief as of May 13th, 2026. I will go ahead and assume that nobody tries to kill Donald Trump again, because even if they try, he's incredibly lucky. So I'm going to assume that Donald Trump is also going to be still president of the United States into 2027 and maybe even finish this term. Hell, he might even run for a third one. So we know those things, or at least as of right now, those things make sense. Now, keep in mind the Democrats as a party, as an institution, as a legislative body. So the members of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate that are Democrats, not really agreeing with Donald Trump on, well, you know, anything. There's no bipartisanship whatsoever, including how he is running his administration and his involvement in these foreign military campaigns. Little side note real quick. I was thinking about something. A foreign nation gave Donald Trump a plane, like a full 747 jet, just gave it to him as a tribute, as a gift. I'm not sure what the rationale was. And Trump kept it. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is accepting a bribe from a foreign nation. But if I'm thinking about things like that, Donald Trump is accepting money and accepting gifts, and his son-in-law and his daughter are engaged in business-making deals all over the globe. And Donald Trump can follow up with policies that also can be beneficial to that country. It is literally the biggest grift that is going on, and it's happening right in front of our faces. And presidents are not supposed to do that. But the fact that he is doing that, like, he could say something like, oh, if you ink this deal with my son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and my daughter, Ivanka, well, then I will remove the tariffs from the goods coming from your country, if you want to import things or export things, rather, to the United States, I, Donald Trump, will remove the tariffs if you sign this land deal, this mining deal, this minerals deal with Jared Kushner and my daughter. And this is allowed to just go on. Also, because I think the federal legislature is just so overwhelmed by so many things, they're just going to have to let Donald Trump get away with a couple of things, including accepting bribes and enriching himself and his family. Now, again, these are things that presidents are not supposed to do. But here's what I was thinking about. Let's say, I need to pick somebody that won't make y'all all mad. Let's make it easy. Let's say Gavin Newsom becomes president of the United States in 2028. Whether he does, whether he does not, I don't know. And Gavin Newsom, for all intents and purposes, is trying to get the country back on track, trying to bring some stability and some sanity back to government. He's picking very high quality people that are loyal to the Constitution as he's building his administration. This is a huge assumption that Gavin Newsom would get elected president. And let's say Gavin Newsom is doing right by us. He is helping the middle class. He's putting together policies that try to undo some of the horrible things that Donald Trump has done. Let's say Gavin Newsom gets us out of the war and the economy is going and clicking on all cylinders. Let's just say he's doing a very, very good job. Follow me for a moment. I'm going somewhere. And let's say Gavin Newsom inks a deal with, I don't know, Argentina, where we here in the United States are going to agree to purchase, I don't know, produce, fruits and vegetables, peaches and plums from Argentina. We're going to buy them. We're going to import them here to the United States. We're going to have a 10-year deal, a 20-year deal, where we are going to buy produce from Argentina so it will provide lower-priced produce here in the United States. Because, you know, we can't necessarily grow in the United States all of the fruits and the vegetables and the produce that we may need for the American consumer in a whole year. Follow me. I'm going somewhere now. Gavin Newsom makes this deal with Argentina. And for the most part, it's a great deal. We get this overabundance of fruits and vegetables coming from Argentina, meaning our prices of fruits and vegetables are going to go down because we inked this deal with Argentina. Argentina loves it because it keeps their farmers farming, for the most part. The farmers in Argentina love this deal. And let's just say Argentina says, hey, Gavin Newsom, thank you for inking this deal with our country, where you, the United States, are going to import the strawberries and the blueberries and the raspberries and all of the berries, helping out our Argentinian farmers. And Argentina is going to stand and make a lot of money. It's going to help their economy. Now, remember, this is all just a scenario, but I want to gauge your temperature on something. And let's say, because of this deal that we have with Argentina, it's good for them, it's good for us, and there also might be 50 such economic and trade deals that President Gavin Newsom might also be involved in. I'm just giving you one hypothetical. And let's say Argentina says, hey, Gavin Newsom, to reward you for helping us in agreeing to buy, to import Argentinian produce, we want to give you an airplane. I think Gavin Newsom should keep it. Technically, it's illegal. Violates the emoluments clause. The president should not be able to personally enrich themselves while in office. It's illegal. Not only is it illegal, it's unconstitutional. You know how they say the Trumpers will use Joe Biden for an excuse? Like if Donald Trump falls asleep in a meeting, well, Joe Biden, he did too. If gas prices continue to rise, you know, a lot of times the Trumpers will say, well, under Joe Biden, gas was a lot of money too. We might talk about inflation going up and wages remaining stagnant. Their best argument is, well, Joe Biden too. If Gavin Newsom in this hypothetical situation, this is just me going on this long fantasy and predicting the future and looking at some of the things that Donald Trump has done that will now become a permanent part of the presidency, because if these things, these emoluments clause violations, were not nipped in the bud, they're going to last forever. Meaning Trump did it. Trump accepted a plane. Trump did it too. I wouldn't even be upset, even though I know it's illegal. we are not going to be able to revert the American presidency. This is something we just have to understand. And it's going to change our voting behavior. It's got to change how we look at politics. There are things that Donald Trump has been able to get away with that will be permanent parts of the presidency. And if there's a Democratic majority in the U.S. Senate and in the U.S. House of Representatives and Gavin Newsom is president, they won't even investigate Gavin Newsom because they didn't investigate Trump. Do you see where I'm going with this? There are things that Trump has permanently changed. A lot of them are illegal and unconstitutional, but they haven't been challenged, and so they likely will persist, and we just got to be okay with it. We have to be okay with it. At least from this point forward, I don't know what happens 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, if we still have a republic, that some of the things that Trump has done will be a permanent part of the presidency. So when we elect people into the future, we have to be okay with them doing illegal and unconstitutional things and getting away with it, especially if one party has full control over the government. And while that is a frightening scenario, because we may get another Trump, and I know we will because history is going to repeat itself, this is one of those permanent things that's going to ingrain itself in our democracy. And there's going to be a whole bunch of other stuff that we're just going to give presidents passes to because, oh, well, Trump did it. Why can't I accept a plane? If I ever ran for president, which I never would, and if I won, even less likely, and I did a real great deal, an economic deal where it helps Americans and American voters and American constituents and American taxpayers, and it boosts the American economy, and it's good for whoever our foreign partner is, and that foreign country is like, Sherwin, thank you for this deal. Thank you for agreeing to trade with us and buying our products here in this country. Can we give you a plane? I'd accept a plane. You think I'd say no? No, I can't. Oh, you shouldn't have, Argentina, a plane for me. If they show up with a plane with President Sherwin Hughes on the side, I'd take it. Now, you're not supposed to, but Trump did it, just like they used Barack Obama as an excuse. Well, what about when Obama did it? Some of those same people who, Republicans and Donald Trump supporters, that are giving Donald Trump a pass on all of these illegal and egregious, like the financial things, like the grifts. The same people, his voters, his supporters, that don't mind that he is doing all of those things are going to be the most vocal critics when a Democrat does the exact same thing. So I know that something like that is coming. We have a YouTube poll up. I want to gauge your temperature on something. I got some details I'm going to share with you. Do you think that we're headed toward an economic recession? Yes or no? So if you go to YouTube.com or open up your YouTube app from your smartphone or other mobile device, search 1017 The Truth. Of course, hit subscribe. You'll be able to view the live stream of this program, participate in the very lively and sometimes explicit, even X-rated YouTube chat, and you'll also be able to vote in our YouTube poll, because I'm going to delve into the future. What does the future look like, and how do we begin to prepare ourselves for the future in this country? We are not going to be stuck in this current moment forever. In fact, we are heading toward these midterm elections, which I would argue, like they always do, this is the most important election of our lifetime. So do you think that we're headed toward an economic recession? Because in the event the Democrats get control of the federal legislature, which it's looking more and more likely, economic policy will stall. So if we head into recession, just hypothetical, I'm not saying we're in one. I'm not saying we're not in one. That part of the future I cannot yet predict. And this country begins to lose jobs and lose even more manufacturing, and layoffs become even more egregious than they are right now. Economic policy agreements will never happen. So if we are heading toward a recession in this year, in this moment, so I want to ask you, if you believe we're heading toward a recession, we're going to be stuck in it for a long time, because I just don't see a newly minted Democratic majority in the House and the Senate agreeing with Donald Trump on any economic policy that could get us out of a recession, assuming we're headed into one. And they're going to impeach him on probably 30 different clauses. So curious, what do you think? Are we headed toward an economic recession? You know what they say, if your neighbor loses his or her job, it's a recession. If you lose your job, it's a depression. So go on over to YouTube and cast your vote. I also want to demystify and unpack the proposed plan that Governor Evers worked out with the Republican majorities in the state Senate and the Wisconsin State Assembly to essentially spend down our current state government surplus. I'm going to give you my thoughts, feelings, and opinions on that and whether I think that's a good idea or a bad idea. I know some of my colleagues have touched on the this proposal, which may pass. I'm not sure. And if it passes, the state legislature, Governor Evers, will sign it. It's going to give some money to schools. It's going to do a couple of other investments. It's going to give you as an individual a $300 rebate. Families, I believe, will get $600 based on your 2024 tax filing. Do you think it's a good idea to spend the surplus down that way? And was it a good idea for Governor Tony Evers to work out this deal with the Republicans, knowing that Tony Evers is not even going to be governor to see the impacts of that surplus spent down? He won't even be around to realize it. So let's talk about that and everything else under the sun, because you're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Considering gas prices are going up, even though that doesn't really affect me. Well, it will. It doesn't affect me directly because I'm not going to the gas pump and buying the gasolines. As we move further through the summer travel season, people are taking trips and vacations. That's going to increase the demand for petroleum. Some of you are going to get on airplanes, not Spirit Airlines, though. You're not going to get on Spirit because they're bankrupt. That is going to also increase the demand for jet fuel, and flights are going to get more expensive. A lot of the goods that we receive are shipped. They are trucked, whether it be UPS, Amazon, the Postal Service. Things enter the nation from the different ports, and they have to get distributed to your Walmarts, to your Targets. Those trucks run on diesel fuel, and of course, diesel prices have really gone through the roof recently, and there is no sign of slowing. And so everything is going to get much more expensive. And that potentially could tip us into an economic recession. Businesses are going to have to cut spending. You're going to have to reduce your fleet. You're going to have to reduce your number of employees. I saw Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley being interviewed by a reporter. I guess the increase in gas prices is really hurting Milwaukee County because Milwaukee County has a lot of vehicles. Even things like snow removal is going to get more expensive, and cities and counties don't budget for 25, a 30, or a 40% increase in gas prices. And so whatever money we have budgeted to put fuel in our snow plows and our sanitation vehicles, et cetera, all of that is going to get expensive, and our budgets are likely to get blown. So there's going to be this cascading economic effect that I believe is coming our way, unless something dramatic happens overnight, and I just don't believe it. I think that this war is going to be much more prolonged and protracted than anyone ever would have guessed, and the economic consequences of this war. Now, we got to figure out, is it worth it or not? Apparently, Iran was going to get a nuclear bomb, even though Iran said, if y'all keep bombing us, United States of America, we're going to further accelerate our nuclear program. Well, that ain't good, especially if we have the solvency of the nation's economy at risk. Keeping in mind, I do believe the Democrats may have a majority in the House of Representatives. That's probably a foregone conclusion. But if they get a majority in the U.S. Senate, Donald Trump's political future hangs in the balance because there's going to be a lot of impeachment papers filed. And of course, There will be lots of hearings and lots of subpoenas. At the same time, the likelihood that Democrats who will control the legislature, I believe, if I'm predicting the future accurately, are going to have a very tough time agreeing with Donald Trump on economic policies that could get us out of a recession that he is, at least in part, responsible for helping to create. So we have this budget surplus here in the state of Wisconsin, which is typically a very, very good thing. Now, this goes back to an overabundance of ARPA dollars, the American Rescue Plan Act, where states got a whole bunch of money for additional services and just to kind of make up for a lot of revenue that was lost during the COVID pandemic. We got a whole bunch of money. One of the things that happens when you have political agreement between the executive branch in Washington, D.C., the president, and governors is the transfer of money. So if Wisconsin is a blue state and our electoral votes went to Joe Biden in 2020, which they did, Joe Biden gets elected president. Joe Biden will reward with the very fat purse of the federal government those states whose electoral votes help him become president. That's politics, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we talk about policy. Policy is a bill becoming a law. Politics is, hey, if you scratch my back and do this for me, I'm going to do some things for you. They are two wheels that spin sometimes clockwise, sometimes counterclockwise, but that's it. Joe Biden could even said to Governor Evers during the campaign in 2020, hey, Governor Evers, if I can win Wisconsin and if I can become president, I'm going to give your state a whole bunch of money and you can do whatever you want with it. I'm basically going to give you some federal tax dollars and you can spend it how you wish. Which is good for Tony Evers, because if you are the governor and your state has a surplus, you get to write checks to this group, this organization. You get to give more money to the schools, which makes the teachers union happy. And the teachers union, when they're happy, then they're going to campaign on your behalf. It all kind of works out, you see. So we have this surplus and we have this rule here in Wisconsin where the governor has a lot of latitude over surplus dollars. He doesn't need approval from the legislature. In fact, our Republican-controlled legislature tried to pass a law that says you have to get permission from us, the legislature, Governor Evers, before you can spend any state surplus money. Obviously, that legislation didn't go anywhere. So there's some ideas of how we're going to spend this government surplus. Personally, I think it's a bad idea. I know that there are a number of Democrats. In fact, I'm not sure if any Democrats are going to vote for this plan that Governor Evers came up with while working with the opposition party. I think it's a terrible idea, and I'm going to give you some real reasons as to why spending our surplus this way is awful if we are predicting the future. Governor Evers is not running again. The makeup of the Wisconsin State Legislature is likely going to change. Right now, the Democrats only need 5 seats in the Wisconsin State Assembly to get the majority. 5 seats out of 99. And considering how poorly the Republicans are doing essentially everywhere, and we can blame a lot of the economy on them and the potential recession that we may or may not be in or moving into, we can blame the Republicans on that. We can blame Donald Trump for getting us in a war. We can blame Donald Trump for fuel prices going up, maybe even the price of eggs. I find it ironic that no one is talking about eggs, but in 2024, everybody was talking about eggs. Like, you're making all these omelets. Omelets are delicious, by the way. You can put many things in omelets. I like omelets a lot. If we are headed toward this recession, spending our rainy day money right now is a bad idea. It's bad both policy and it's bad politics. Tony Evers, leave that surplus money for a new governor, which we're going to get, because Evers is not running again. Now, I don't know if it's going to be Tom Tiffany. I hope it's not him. Or one of the 13, 15, 11 Democrats that are running to replace Governor Evers. Why spend the surplus money now, our rainy day money? It's like we paid all our bills and we still got like $3 billion in the bank. That's got to be a good feeling. But why spend it now, especially if we may be headed toward a recession? Why would you spend your surplus now? Why wouldn't Governor Evers let the next governor and the next legislature, which is likely to be Democratic control. Let them figure out what to do with the surplus. Now, if you're a Republican, this is genius because your party is failing. Your constituents are suffering. And if you spend the surplus money now, then you are taking away, as a Republican now, because they are playing politics. If you spend the surplus now, then you take away the ability for the next incoming governor, who I hope is a Democrat, and the next legislature, which likely in Wisconsin will be controlled by Democrats, you take the surplus away from them. Also keeping in mind, we don't know where we're going to be as a state come 2027. We don't know how bad the economic recession is going to be. And states are impacted in a very unique way. So are cities, towns, and counties when we're in an economic recession. So that's why I wanted to ask the question via YouTube, whether you all believe we're headed toward a recession, because if we are, and I have reason to believe that prices and costs are going to continue to go up, tariffs do still exist in some form or fashion, gas prices, fuel prices are going to go out of control, grocery prices are going to get higher. Anything that needs to be delivered, anything that needs to be shipped, anything that needs to be flown or driven via truck, all going to get much more expensive. And these costs are going to get passed to the consumer. And if we are, in fact, in an economic recession, we've seen this a number of layoffs. If less people are working and costs are going up, then you get this heavy reliance on social services. Now, some social services and benefits come from the federal government, but keep this in mind, too. If less people are working, less people are paying income taxes. And those government programs that people need in times of unemployment, in times of, you know, increasing poverty, there's going to be less money for the programs that people are going to need if, in fact, we're headed toward an economic recession. Counties are extensions of state government. A lot of the social services that exist in Milwaukee County are funded by the state and are funded by state government. In fact, damn near everything the counties do are extensions of state government, just delivering those services at a local level. That's what county governments essentially do. They take the biennial budget that's created in Madison, they divvy it up between the 72 counties, and we have different agencies. We have a transportation agencies and Department of Aging, and we have infrastructure agencies and all these other agencies that are funded by state government. So if we're in an economic recession, I just want this to make sense to y'all so we can be much more prepared for an uncertain future. If more people are losing their jobs, which is likely to happen because businesses and companies, they got to cut costs. And one of the first things they do is they reduce their labor force. That's less money coming into the state. That's less tax revenue, less sales tax revenue, because if you don't have a job, you're buying less stuff. If you're buying less stuff, the state of Wisconsin is going to get less money in sales tax. If less people are working, even 10,000, 15,000. 30,000 people. Now, in a state of 5.8 million, that's usually a drop in the bucket, but you take 30, 40, 50,000 people and you unemploy those people, the amount of money that they would be paying in state income taxes all but disappears. And there's going to be a heavy reliance by those people on the social services and government services that are provided by counties when people are facing hardship. So you would use the surplus to maintain the funding of the social services that counties deliver. But if you spend the surplus now and we head toward recession, we won't have any money to supplement those social services that people are going to need. I'm going to take a break, come back, and give you even more detail on this. The Republicans screwed us, and this is a very, very bad deal. Because the additional money that we will need to keep state government going and to keep the flow of money to counties, the counties that deliver the social services to people in need, if we're in a recession or heading toward one, the need will be greater, but the revenue for those programs will be gone. We're going to get a new governor and a whole new legislature. Why spend the surplus now? Just wait literally like 9 months and then figure out, because then we'll have a better idea of where the economy is. I just think it's a real bad idea. I'm going to give you the details of how they plan on spending the money, which I'm going to say right now, I fundamentally disagree with it. And some of the Democrats that have spoken out and said that they are not going to vote for this spending down of our surplus, I'm 100% on their side. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
I assure you, if we had an outgoing Republican governor and we had this same state government surplus, and that outgoing Republican governor had an opposition legislature. So an outgoing Republican governor with a Democratic legislature, and there was a surplus. So basically the opposite of what's going on right now. That outgoing Republican governor would not be making a deal with the Democrats in an election year, because that outgoing Republican governor knows that there might be a Democratic replacement, and you do not want to give the opposition party some kind of advantage. Imagine a new governor here in the state of Wisconsin, which we're going to get. I just don't know who the hell is going to be. I can't even speculate. I can tell you who might do well in the Democratic primary, but that means nothing in Wisconsin. Please bear in mind that Wisconsin is a red state. We are right now. Until further notice, we will be. Hell, we might be a red state in 2028. I don't know. It comes down to what about 30,000 people decide on election day, and it's too hard to predict. But a new governor and a new legislature that has just under $2 or $3 billion to spend can be a tremendous advantage for that administration, because you got to hit the ground running, right? Tony Evers has been governor for a while. Whoever the next governor is going to be, they got to make a good impression, don't they? And if we happen to be in an economic recession, which I believe there's almost no way to avoid it. I know the consumer spending is still really, really high. That's one of those indicators that they look at to determine a recession. For some reason, people just keep spending money. Where are y'all getting this money from? Are you all buying dope? Selling dope? Like, what's happening with all of the money that people are spending? Now, credit card debt is probably somewhere in the trillions. But the full-blown recession like the one that we had in 2007, 2008, we have not quite reached those levels yet, because then consumer spending was way, way down. People are still spending money. So assuming that the Democrats get control, and I know I'm mixing and matching Washington, D.C. politics with state politics, but they literally are one and the same. Let's go ahead and give the Democrats the majority in the U.S. Senate and the House of Representatives after these midterm elections. They're not going to agree with Trump on anything. They're going to try and remove Trump from office. If I would say that that's what the Democrats' priority is going to be, because dude is just gone. He's gone so far. He's like, hey, let's stage another assassination attempt on me. Like, that's how far the Donald Trump is going. Like, no one is stopping him. No one is stopping him. We're in another war because of him. All the economic things that he promised, that he lied to everybody. Everybody, even some of his most vulnerable constituents that believed in the fact that he was a businessman, they're screwed probably more than anybody else. And here's what's crazy. Some of those Trump constituents who live in rural America, who are blue collar and working class, the only ones that can save them are Democrats. Ain't that wild? Because those are natural Democratic constituencies anyway. When populations and demographics started to change, they're not really changing much here in Wisconsin, because Wisconsin is still a very white state. People shed their working class identity, their middle income, middle class identity, for racial and ethnic identities, and have followed them into the ballot box. Rural, up north, working class, middle class white folks would vote their economic interest. Now they're voting in the race. Now they're voting for the candidate that wants to remove the Mexicans from the country and do God knows what with black people. We'll eliminate DEI. That is where their political priorities are, instead of voting for economic policies that will save their farms, save their mortgages, save their businesses, and save the little bit of money that people have saved in their bank accounts. So if we are headed toward a recession, Washington, D.C. is not going to get us out of it. In Wisconsin, we could provide some temporary relief with the surplus that we have, because we're going to need it. If more people get laid off in the state of Wisconsin, this is the most important thing to know about this whole scenario. Less people are working. Less people working, less money they are spending. Less people working, less income taxes they are paying, less revenue for state government. Less sales taxes, less revenue for state government. Less revenue for state government because people are spending less and more people are unemployed is less money for county services that people rely on during times of economic recession. And we are spending the money that could potentially be a stopgap between failed economic policy in Washington, D.C., and an economic recession that could really gut the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Republicans in the assembly say they have the votes to pass a $1.8 billion budget surplus spending plan. But the path is more uncertain in the Senate ahead of a scheduled vote today. The plan would use money from the state's budget surplus to send rebate checks to Wisconsin residents who file taxes in 2024. Married couples would receive $600, while single filers would receive $300. That one, does that move the needle? Does a one-time payment? I'm curious. $300? I can spend $300 instantly. Is that enough, considering how much more you're paying? Like, just gas. And I think our utilities are going up, too. We Energies, they sometimes... they come up with ideas like, oh, yeah, we need to raise our rates. And I bring We Energies up because they have a monopoly on our utilities. Like, you can't shop around like, oh, I don't like We Energies prices this month. Let me buy my electricity and my natural gas to heat my home from another utility company. No, you don't have a choice. You know, in winter, even though it's not quite summer yet, remember, we're thinking ahead. We're trying to predict the future so we can put ourselves in the best possible position for very uncertain times in 2027 and beyond. You know, in wintertime, our utility prices or of the spending on heating our homes goes up. Okay? And if We Energies is also raising our rates, now the Public Service Commission has got to give permission to We Energies to raise our rates. But if we're in a recession and there's less people spending and less people working and there's less money coming into the state government because less income tax and less sales tax and some of the programs that people may rely on that come through county government are underfunded and are getting cut at the same time our utilities are going up, we're talking about a disaster. The whole reason of having the budget surplus, and here's what's crazy, we've had it for like 5 years. Why are you spending it in an election year where the makeup of the legislature is going to change and we're going to get a new governor? The plan would use money from the state's budget surplus to send rebate checks to Wisconsin residents who file taxes in 2024. Married couples, $600. Single filers would receive $300. Taxpayers would not need to fill out any forms or sign up to receive the refund. If the bill passes both chambers and is signed by Governor Evers, the goal is to send the checks out no later than September 15th. The proposal also includes tax cuts for overtime workers and tip earners, eliminating state income tax on cash tips and overtime pay. So that's a Donald Trump proposal. That was something that was in the big, beautiful bill. And that is in this surplus spend down. So you got Governor Evers agreeing with things from Donald Trump's political agenda. Let me also say this. Donald Trump has got the majority in the Senate and the House. No, not for very long, but he has it. Dude only signed one bill into law. That's a big, beautiful bill, and it's been a disaster. Do you know how we would hammer the Democrats if they had a majority? Donald Trump has got a majority on the Supreme Court, the House of Representatives, and the Senate, and passed one bill. If the Democrats were in the same scenario, we would just be dragging them, because Democrats have an obligation and responsibility to take care of poor people, take care of working class people, middle income people, working families, minorities who might be facing discrimination, et cetera. Like, that's what the Democrats do. The Democrats can't just sit around with a majority, a supermajority like that, and not do anything. But the Republicans can. It's just insane to me. It's like we have this crazy double standard. This is the best example of a double standard I could ever give. Like Barack Obama, when he had his majority only for 2 years, his supermajority, he didn't do enough. Dude passed the Affordable Care Act. But people are saying, oh, he should have did more for black people. That was probably about the most you could have done for black people. Oh, I'm going to talk about Barack Obama, too. I know y'all don't like when I talk about Barack and Michelle, but Michelle is tripping again. Why don't Michelle leave my dude alone? Why doesn't she just? I'm going to have to save that for later on in the show. An additional $650 million would go towards school funding and property tax relief, with $350 million of that amount designated to lower property taxes, directing more money to K-12 public schools. So the property tax relief, I suppose that's decent. I'm not really sure what kind of a dent $350 million would make in property tax relief, because I know that in the city of Milwaukee, almost all of our assessments went up. All of us are paying more in property taxes, also because of a referendum that y'all voted for. I didn't vote for that school funding referendum giving permission for our property taxes to go up to give MPS more money. I was looking at some information. You know what the biggest difference is between a free African American and a black person that was in chattel slavery? Now, there's 1,001 differences, obviously, but there's one that is core and that is key. One fundamental difference that separates a free person from a slave. And I can give you ideas and examples of how we have modern day slavery, because some of y'all have got to work as many hours as you possibly can. Some of y'all need a second job and you need a third job. And when you have to work all these different jobs and all these different hours, you're not spending time with family. You're not spending time with your kids. You're not helping and investing in your community. You're not volunteering for greater causes, because you got to work. You got to work weekends. You got to work nights. You got to work holidays. How is that not slavery? But the biggest difference between a free person and a slave is literacy. That's why it was illegal to teach slaves to read. I got a figure here that says 30% of the African Americans in the city of Milwaukee can't read. Functionally illiterate. Remember, the biggest difference between a free person and a slave, and I think we say just like education, like, oh, education is a big difference. If you narrow it down, it's literacy. Black children can't read. What kind of future do you think that they have? What kind of participation are you going to have in the economy if you can't read and if you cannot comprehend? It is just an unmitigated disaster. And the district has got a $1.6 billion budget. They're going to ask for another referendum. And we have a disproportionate number of our children that can't read. Wherever these children are, when they graduate from high school, literacy-wise, statistically, that's where they're going to stay forever. So hold that thought. I'm going to take a break, come back, continue the conversation. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back shortly.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Assembly Republicans call the plan a win for taxpayers. Why is our Democratic governor giving the Assembly Republicans a win? They're about to lose their majority because of their bad planning and bad policy, and because of their adherence to Donald Trump's political ideology. This is this.
Oh, maybe I need to run for governor. Can y'all raise me like $10 million in 3 months? Because I'll do it. I'll run for governor.
Nah, I don't know. I wouldn't be fair. Like, I wouldn't take phone calls from probably 35 or 40 county executives if I became governor. I just wouldn't talk to them. And that's not nice. I'd have to work with them some kind of way, but I wouldn't want to. Some days I wouldn't even go to work. Like, I don't want to be governor today. I'll go play golf or something. Assembly Republicans call the plan a win for taxpayers. Quote, I think anytime you can do such big, substantial tax relief packages like this, it's a win for Wisconsinites, especially when we're able to do it in a bipartisan way, said Pewaukee Republican Representative Adam Nyland. Neither side got everything they wanted, but at the end of the day, we feel very comfortable with where we are at. The Republicans in the state of Wisconsin need something to brag about. They need to say that they accomplished something. Because if you look at national politics, I would argue that Speaker Mike Johnson and his caucus have not done things that positively impact the American people or the American economy. I don't believe they have. So if Republicans who are worried about losing their majority in the assembly, if they can use this spending plan and spending down the surplus as something that they have done that puts real money in people's pockets. I don't know if you guys know this. Democrats don't do this, but Republicans do. Whenever they're in crazy mad trouble, they cut you a check. Whenever Republicans are underwater when it comes to approvals, I mean, like really, really, really bad shape. Trump is different. Trump doesn't care about literally any of you. I mean, he loves the poorly educated. And rightfully so, because you can't get away with doing what Trump does when the constituents are smart. And that's just plain as day. You can't get away with this. The stealing and the grifting and the fake assassination attempts and accepting airplanes from foreign countries and not caring about the price of gas and not caring about the tariffs and not caring that you're putting us into a war that we can't win. If you have really smart people in your base, you can't get away with this. When George Bush stole the election in 2000, and he stole it. You remember them tax rebate checks we got? Bill Clinton and Al Gore left us like $250 billion budget surplus. Federal government had paid all its bills. I don't even think we had a deficit at the time. Had $250 billion. Now, 26 years ago, $250 billion is a lot of money. That's a lot more money then than it is right now. George Bush knew that he stole that election, and he spent that surplus down by giving us tax rebates. And what did he do after that? Got us in the September 11th war. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be back for hour two.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We'll be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.